ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय Chapter 1, The History of the Life of Ajamil, text number 48. Mandasai Bhakpade Deva Purvarupam Vipashyati Anubhimam Sate Purvam Mandasa Bhagavandaja Mandasaiva Pure Deva Purva Rupam Vipashyati Anumi Mamsate Purvam Mandasa Bhagavandaja Manasa,
Manasa,
of the mind, Eva,
Eva,
indeed, Pure,
Pure,
in his abode,
in his abode,
or within everyone's heart, like the super soul,
or within everyone's heart, like the super soul,
Deva,
Deva,
the demigod Yamaraj, Dividiti Devaha, one who is always burning and illuminated, is called Deva. So there's a definition of a demigod there. Purvarupam, the past religious or irreligious condition.
The past religious or irreligious condition.
The past shakti completely observes. Anubhi namsate, he considers a purvam, the future condition, manasa, with his mind, Bhagavan, who is omnipotent, Ajja, as good as Lord Brahma. Translation, the omnipotent Yamaraj is as good as Lord Brahma, for while situated in his own abode, or in everyone's heart like the Paramatma, he mentally observes the past activities of a living entity and thus understands how the living entity will act in future lives. Before by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. One should not consider Yamaraj an ordinary living being. He is as good as Lord Brahma. He has the complete cooperation of the Supreme Lord, who is situated in everyone's heart. And therefore, by the grace of the Super Soul, he can see the past, present and future of a living being from within. The word Anubhi Mamsate means that he can decide in consultation with the Super Soul. Anu means following. The actual decisions concerning the next lives of the living entities are made by the Super Soul and they are carried out by Yamaraj. So, in the Bhagavad Gita, there are five subject matters that are discussed. And the importance of the Bhagavad Gita, there are many religious scriptures, both within the ancient teachings of the Vedas from India and in other different religious traditions, and many scriptures. in all scriptures, there are five things we need to understand. And if those five things are understood, you'll understand all scriptures. And if you miss out one of them, you'll understand no scriptures. So, the beauty of the Gita is the way those five things are very systematically discussed to make them very clear. So, those five are the living entity. The living entity, and the, which is, the living entity is of a spiritual nature, which means we, each a spirit soul, an individual spirit soul within every living being, we are eternal, so sat chit ananda, we're eternal, we're conscious, and we're blissful seeking. We seek transcendental happiness, eternal happiness. Not chopped up and messed about with by all sorts of problems. We want happiness, pure happiness, that's not limited by anything, and it just keeps going and going and going. That's our nature. Everyone wants that. No one says, I'd like to be happy for 1 second, and then throw me back in all the miserable conditions. No one wants that. We want the happiness to go forever for ourselves and everyone that we care for. That is our nature. Everything is on. So, and we want to be eternal. How can we enjoy eternal happiness if we're not eternal? And we want to be conscious. How can we experience happiness? People are not even conscious of anything. So, eternality, consciousness, and happiness must be there for any one of them to they go hand in hand in concomitant. You can't have one without the other. So, that is the spiritual energy, and we are all part of that spiritual energy. Material energy is asat. It manifests temporarily and then it's gone. So, it's not eternal. In other words, it didn't really exist. If something exists, it always exists. And if it disappears, it didn't exist at all. But the material energy which produces those temporary manifestations, it is eternal, because it's one of the Lord's eternal energies that produces these illusory existences. So the material energy, we understand that is one of the Lord's energies. And the spiritual energy, all the living entities. And of course, the Lord Himself is also of the spiritual energy, Satchitananda, except that He has supreme consciousness. And He is the reservoir of all transcendental bliss. And He is conscious and aware of everything, as we see in this purport here. So, the living entity, spiritual by nature. So we are individual, but we are prone to forget our eternal nature and be covered by the material energy and think we are this body. But then there's the Supreme Lord, who's also conscious, but unlimited consciousness that can never be covered. He never forgets his eternal existence and he knows everything eternally, past, present, and future. Of all living entities. So then, of course, in the course of time, time represents the will of the Lord, and if we have particular desires to do something, and we have a particular, let's say, reactions to our past material activities, then within the course of time, the will of the Lord will act through the material energy, and we will get a particular body to fulfill that particular desire and to fulfill that particular good and bad karma. And karma itself, or the work, the actions that we do. So when we do actions in this world, we can get This body that we currently have is the sum total of the reactions to all our activities in the past life. And the sum total of all the actions we perform in this life will produce our next material body. As Prabhupada says in the purport, actually, this body is a result of our previous senses. And the senses are the mechanisms by which we fulfill our material desires. So this body is a result of our previous senses or our previous material desires. So that is karma. But karma, unlike the other four, can be changed. So the Lord's material energy is eternal, and sometimes it produces material manifestations, these bodies, and then the whole material energy can be wound up. But it's eternal. Whenever the Lord likes to release it, it is there. The living entity, we're eternal. The Lord is eternal. And time is eternal. But, because that represents the will of the Lord, the will of the Lord is eternal. Whether it's manifested in this world or in the spiritual world, His will is eternal. And but karma, karma means that that is one thing which is temporary, which means that we can actually change our activities through knowledge of these five different principles. We can change our activities or our karma so that either we get another material body or we can produce or we can have activities in relationship to the Supreme which don't produce a material body. They actually allow one to go back to the spiritual world and never take another material body again. So those five things. Now if we leave out one of those things, we misunderstand one of those things, we cannot understand anything about spiritual life. Just one. We leave out one, we can't understand anything. So anyway, there's many misconceptions. Now here, it is describing the super soul. And here's some, the Srimad Bhagavatam gives us further knowledge that we can actually have an intimate relationship with that Supreme Super Soul, in which case, what the Lord knows, because He knows everything, and if we need to know something, He helps us to know what we need to know. So just like Srila Prabhupada, as described in there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Since this temporary material world is full of the miseries of birth, old age, disease, and death, naturally, He who achieves the highest perfection and attains the supreme planet, Krishna Loka, Goloka Vrindavan, does not wish to return. The supreme planet is described in Vedic literature as Avyakta and Akshara and Paramahati. In other words, that planet is beyond our material vision. So, there are many things which are beyond our ability to know. Just like if you go to the prison house and you ask them, what is happening? We don't know. There is a big wall, a big boundary wall, and even within that boundary wall, there's another, you know, boundary wall, and then there is a cell, and there are so many mysteries. So we do not know what is happening. No. So this material world and this material body is like that, boundaries. We cannot know what is beyond that. We're restricted, we're confined within the boundary. So therefore, it is beyond our material vision and it is inexplicable. Inexplicable means someone may explain something, but unless one is practiced to gradually elevate from one concept to another concept to another concept, it's inexplicable. So there is a process of knowledge. By a process of knowledge, so for instance, when children go to school, we teach them 2 plus 2 equals 4. We don't teach them, you know, quantum, you know, physics, because it's inexplicable. But they can understand it if they follow the process of knowledge. They have to have teachers. And they have to follow certain practices. They have to put that knowledge into practice. And so many different things. So to become a doctor, you cannot just read a book. Even if you have a teacher, and he says, yes, and this is how you do brain surgery. Oh, yes. Bring in the next patient. You have to work with the doctors. Make sure that you don't step the wrong way. Yeah, do I say the right one? No. So, this process of knowledge, otherwise it's inexplicable, no doubt. But, and so, it's beyond our senses, it's so subtle, most subtle knowledge, and very elevated knowledge. And usually we don't have access to it, but even if we do, still we have to follow this process. But it is the highest goal, the destination for the Mahatmas. The Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees and thus gradually develop devotional service in Krishna consciousness and become so absorbed in transcendental service that they no longer desire elevation to any of the material planets, nor do they even want to be transferred to any spiritual planet. They only want the association of Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. Oh, sorry, they only want Krishna and Krishna's association and nothing else. That is the highest perfection of life. This verse specifically mentions the persons, devotees of the Supreme Lord Krishna. These devotees in Krishna consciousness achieve the highest perfection of life. In other words, they are the Supreme Souls. So here at this point, the Mahatmas receive transcendental messages from the realized devotees. So that is the process. The Super Soul, the Lord, reveals in scriptures such as the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. Then the Lord reveals the understanding of those scriptures to devotees who serve Him in devotional service. So, as an example, that you can meet 100 people and you can say to them, you're not this body, you're a spirit soul. You can meet thousands of people, and amongst them, you may find one that can understand it. You're saying the same thing to each one, but amongst them, what's this crazy person talking about? I'm not this body, this is me. So, this is crazy talk. But one, sometimes it could be a little 5 or 6 year old child. They understand that. Prabhupada went to Russia. He spoke with the professor of Indology, Dr. Potosky. And Prabhupada mentioned this a lot. He explained, we are a spiritual soul. He could not understand it. He's the professor of Indology, what they call it. You know, Hinduism, Indian spiritual knowledge. You're a spiritual soul. No. Swami, he's a, you know, correction, but on his body. So, if the Lord within the heart is pleased with that person, then that professor can understand. And if the Lord is not pleased, he cannot understand. A little 6 year old child, barely even been to school. And they can actually perfectly understand, yes, I'm not this body. I live in the heart as a tiny little soul that lives forever. And when this body is finished, I can go into another body. Why go back to spiritual? That's not difficult to understand. So, the Bhagavad Gita, the Srimad Bhagavatam, those transcendental scriptures, that is called the revealed scriptures, which means we understand it by revelation, not by academic knowledge. Therefore, what's very interesting in this purport is you see that until the appearance of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, even those highly elevated devotees who can understand, yes, I'm a spiritual soul, there's one supreme soul, although he has many different forms, eternal forms, but one supreme all-knowing soul, he lives in the spiritual world, but he accompanies us as the super soul within the heart, within every atom. So he's very far away, but he's also very near. And I can go to the spiritual world and attain liberation, and instead of living in this horrible material world full of miseries, I can live in eternal happiness in the kingdom of God, which is filled with unlimited opulences. Everything I want is there. But for thousands and millions of years, they could not understand something more than that. And that is, there's something more than going back to the spiritual world. Hard to imagine, isn't it? There's something more than going back to the spiritual world. And that was taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That the Lord himself, Krishna himself, after speaking to Gita, he came to explain that the Lord Krishna appeared and demonstrated that those on the topmost level who have been awarded the highest realization by the Lord himself, they don't even care about going to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. They don't care to go to hell. They don't care to go to the heavenly planets. All they want to do is to eternally have that pure love for the Supreme Lord in their hearts, and to show that love to the Lord and share that love with all the residents and all their associates like that. And they enjoy when the Lord is happy and he reciprocates that love, then that is the highest goal of that. And of course, know, it's common sense. If one is experiencing that transcendental, the highest bliss the soul can experience is that ecstasy of pure love in its most intense and ecstatic features. That is the highest bliss that the living entity can experience. And it's higher than just saying, yes, I'll come back to the spiritual world. There's some love, naturally. But love is not the only thing. But pure love, it doesn't matter whether I'm in the spiritual world. The Lord wants me to help people in the material world. The Lord wants me to go to the hellish planets and help people to be delivered to the spiritual world. I'll go there. As long as I have that opportunity to manifest that kevala bhakti, pure love. And it stands to reason, if there's a reciprocal loving relationship, what is the problem that we will have even if we're in the hellish world? If the personality of Godhead accepts us as the highest lover of God, what problems will we have anywhere in existence? As the Lord is reciprocal. If you're in wherever you are, you know that there is no problems. Because the personality of Godhead, who controls every atom, everything in material and spiritual existence, He loves you. How can you have a problem? But those on that platform, they don't care whether they've got problems or not problems. That's not what we're after. But the Lord cares. The Lord cares. So sometimes we see that, for instance, someone may commit offences to some of the Lord's great devotees. They don't care. They don't care. They're not, what's the so-called, someone's caused some unnecessary distress or whatever. They don't care. But sometimes the Lord cares. Therefore you see in the Bhagavad Kuruchetra, Draupadi, they attempted to strip him naked. And the pundit is tolerated. But Krishna showed the universal form to Arjuna. Arjuna, I care. They will all be vanquished for that offense. All of them, the armies, all vanquished for that offense. I care. Yeah. So don't you feel bad, Arjuna, if you're able to do this duty? I've already done it. They're all finished. So it appears that perhaps the Pandavas had a problem, but how can they have a problem if they're the dearmost lovers of God? But of course, Krishna revealed that even above the Pandavas, the Brajvasis, they are considered revealed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu as to be the, there is no higher form of loving worship than that manifest by the loving Vrajavasis. And especially the gopis, and among the gopis, especially Srimati Radharani. But that confidential knowledge, although people have read the scriptures thousands of years and millions of years, they could not see that. It is by revelation, their messages that come down to the Lord through certain devotees, and then their followers, and that is the only way you can get it. Revelate messages from the Lord. They're special, confidential messages like that. So, here we see Yamaraj, he gets messages how to do his duty. But Yamaraj, he looks after, Prabhupada says, just the sinful people. So for those who chant the holy name of the Lord and try to develop their love for God, Yamaraj doesn't deal with them. They're not under his jurisdiction. They become directly under the jurisdiction of the Lord and his representatives. So, but just as Srila Prabhupada was given the messages through the transcendent, through the Mahatmas, to the transcendental process of how to spread the most confidential aspect of transcendental knowledge, not realized by even great sages for thousands and thousands of years, even though they're reading the scriptures. It's all there, but still they couldn't see. That was given to Prabhupada. To understand and to take the... How do you take the topmost revelation, people can't even understand their spirit soul, and give that to the general mass of sinful people in Kali Yuga and get them to dance and chant and embrace that all over the world, in China, Russia? That understanding is given to Prabhupada. So in a similar way, you know, it's not too hard for us to understand that Yamaraj is given this understanding how to, you know, perceive, because the super soul knows, and therefore he helps Yamaraj. Yes, this is the process, and you can see within their heart. Oh, yes, this one has done that. Are you grasping? You've done that. Well, this is good then. Okay, yeah, but then you mess it up again. You're going to be punished by that. But of course, Yamaraj, we always say, he doesn't like to do, he doesn't like to punch. It's a thankless harsh. You know, like the policeman, they don't like to beat you too much. In this way, Yamaraj, he is as good as Brahma, and Brahma, he is also, you know, so. One of the qualities of the Lord is he's omniscient. Because he's everywhere, he knows everything. So this verse in the Bhagavad Gita, 13th chapter. So the Bhagavad Gita, not only does it tell us about the super soul that he exists, but he tells you his different transcendental qualities, all the things you can, the essential things you can know about the knower. About the super soul, the supreme knower. There are two knowers. We are one knower with some limited knowledge, and then there's the supreme knower. What can we know about those two knowers? That is the knower. And so this is what he explains here, that they're the super soul. Jyotisham apitaj jyotis tamasa paravocate jnanam gyanam 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 vidi sabasya vishtitam. He is the source of light in all luminous objects. He is beyond the darkness of matter and is unmanifested. He is knowledge. He is the object of knowledge, and he is the goal of knowledge, and he is situated in everyone's heart. So if we can connect with that personality of Godhead through the process of associating in the mind of the Mahatmas coming down from Srila Prabhupada, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then the super soul awards that knowledge in reciprocation to the level of devotional service we're performing, and of course according to the desires that we have, what we want. If we want to be a devotee in ISKCON and get some adoration, some prestige, some facility, he will give that knowledge. The Lord is very kind. If we want to follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis and not swap our love of God for anything, useless for things that have no taste for in the spiritual world, then he will give that if we desire that. Now we may think, how is it possible for me, the average Kali Yuga, right, talking about myself, so many disqualifications, how is it possible for me to ever follow in the footsteps of the Brajavasis and attain that Krishna-loka like that? But if we have that desire, through Lo Chaitanya science,
through
his process, you can have that. Because I will give that knowledge. So, we only have to ask for it. We only have to want it. That. So, as mentioned in the scriptures, what is the cost? You just desire it. I want that more than anything. And Maya, she will test it. She will say, oh yes. Let's see how sincere that desire is. What about if I give you this? Oh yes, I'll take it. All right, we get the other guy. I've got one there. No. I'm going to just not take that. I just want that. So, the whole process of devotional service is like that. To the very last point, the Lord tests. It's not so much, it's testing, minor test, just to see if there's any rascals trying to get into the kingdom of God. But Krishna, his process is to actually purify. So it's like, if you're making the best quality metal, you put it in the fire, you want to see all the impurities in that metal. Not so that you can say, so much impurity, what a useless piece. Not like that. You want to see the impurities, because if you see them, they can be removed. And then you can get this pure metal, which is so strong that it will cut through other metal. So that is Krishna's process. Maya will, sit through the rascals, but Krishna, if we ask, he will help and he will purify, so that he will help us see. Oh yes, there's a little something. Here we can leave. And this process starts from the beginning. All religion, every religious ritual, every religious process is the same process of purification. Right from the beginning of just doing the hair cutting for the child. It's the same process. It starts from a haircut, a little baby, and it ends when we have that pure love of God within our hearts. What is a haircut? What is impurity? Oh, I'm attached to this body. Oh, surely not, it's just a little baby. Oh, you're just trying to take a little lock of that hair to see how much they've got. How much attachment is there? I've seen, three grown men, cannot hold down a little 6-month-old baby who's saying, you're not taking that hair off my head. Seriously. The attachment, that's the same thing. All religious principles, it's the same thing. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I'll give you the most powerful process and the most easiest. You chant the holy names of the Lord, you have Krishna Prasadam, you associate with others. We want to go back to Krishna Loka in this life. You associate with them. Then in this life, I'm going back to Krishna Loka. That is my goal. I have no goal like that. How do you get to Krishna Loka? You must develop that Kevala Bhakti, that pure love for the Lord, that I only want Krishna. And I only want to be in an eternal love relationship. Even at the expense of liberation of Vaikuntha or anything else like that, I just want that pure love of God. If you want that and associate with God in that mood, then this life, back to God. So this is a little bit about the mysteries of this universe, how we can apply it in our own devotional life. So I'll leave it there if anyone has any questions or comments.
Talking about this exclusive devotion and Kevala Bhakti. Now, while practicing as also you mentioned about the distractions that come about, which take us away from the main goal. Now recently, for my own health reasons, I was searching about the imbalance in the body, the subtle body, the chakras, and all that. Now, how do devotees deal with such, if you know that there is an imbalance in a particular chakra and that's causing some symptoms and you're not able to practice bhakti because of that, should we just say, okay, I'm chanting Hare Krishna, everything will go, or should we take the required process to clean that?
Yeah, so the question is that sometimes you have to spend a lot of time researching and understanding how to best keep ourselves very healthy, physically and mentally. And of course, if we're not, it's a big distraction from the spiritual path. So, of course, if we put too much effort into it, that's also a distraction. So, again, there is a discrimination, isn't there? There's a very high level of discrimination as to, I do have to look after this body, and I have to keep it, you know, it mentions again and again in the Gita, you know, material body and mind must be kept fit for the service of Krishna. And that's the goal, is that we keep our mind and body fit for the service of Krishna. So if our service to Krishna, in our attempt to develop our love for Krishna, part of our service to Krishna is gradually offering better and better quality service with, you know, pure motives and, sincere love, like that, devotion. So that's part of our service. So, because what we see in the Gita is that we have to have faith, as mentioned in the 9th chapter. We can't make spiritual progress if we don't have faith. That faith means that we have to cultivate knowledge, and that knowledge also to the point where we have full revelation of the revealed scriptures. And then that faith, which is consistent with full revelation of the revealed scriptures, that is very strong and unshakable faith. So we have to have that faith. That's one of the things we have to do. That's part of our service, is to develop that faith. Part of our service is also to develop attachment to the Lord, and if that attachment then naturally we become, to the same degree we're attached to the Supreme, we're detached from the material. So there is faith. An attachment that is part of our service is to develop the practice of attachment to Krishna. That all our senses are attached to Krishna, whatever work we're doing is attached to Krishna. And we also specifically want to be attached to Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. Perhaps also, as mentioned in that verse 8:15, then Narayana Vaikuntha. If we want to attach to Narayana Vaikuntha, that's good. Transcendental, that's wonderful, but part of our service to Krishna, if we want to attain Vajra, the Lord, Krishna Loka, we must develop that sort of attachment. Attachment and faith is the beginning where bhakti actually begins. Bhakti actually begins when we're fully attached to Krishna and detached from the material world. So then we actually have to practice devotion, love. So they're actually part of our service to Krishna. In other words, if we don't practice them, we won't come to the platform of serving Krishna in love. So we have to practice and we have to understand and practice in association with devotees. So now that's, we want to do that in this one lifetime. So there's a lot to do, isn't it, to develop that knowledge, that attachment, and devotion in the proper mood of the Brahma Gati. That's a lot of time and effort, a lot of meditation, a lot of devotional service. We're doing all our activities, we're practicing that everything I do in the day is imbued with that faith, knowledge, transcendental knowledge, attachment and devotion. Every activity, every thought. So that's a lot of practice. So we have to keep ourselves fit mentally and physically to be able to do that for this one lifetime, finish the business off and go back to Vaikuntha. So the fine line is that we're doing things for the sake of keeping the body fit and the mind fit, where it actually reduces significantly the amount of time we're putting into practicing developing faith and knowledge and attachment and bhakti. So that understanding, of course, comes from the that comes from the Lord. We cannot understand those things. They're so subtle, and they're the highest level of intelligence that the soul has. Now, this is the soul manifesting its own spiritual intelligence in communion with the Lord on a very elevated platform. They're the decisions that are made on that platform. So, and these are the things that we meditate upon daily until we get that exactly right. So, it's different for each devotee according to their health situations. Some devotees need to put a little bit more effort into their health because they have more problems. So we can't just put a blanket rule for every devotee, and we can't put a blanket rule for ourselves because sometimes our health changes, it gets better, and sometimes it gets worse. So we may implement the scheme for our health, and our health gets better, we're still doing things we may not need to spend as much time on. So, but that level of fine intelligence is coming by the grace of the Lord in association with devotees who, that is how he works. He likes to work through his devotees, but he will give that information. He will give that information without doubt. The trick is that if we have that desire, that in this life of going back to Godhead, you'll get the intelligence. If we end up with a slightly different desire, some other motivation, then the intelligence we get will be different. So the highest degrees of intelligence for going back to Godhead in order to manage everything in this material world, the physical body, the mental body, all the different opposing elements and what have you, that is given to those with that fixed intelligence. The Lord rewards that. If we have other motivations, then we're not being fed that high level of intelligence. We've been given some, material energy can get in amongst that, those motivations. And we're thinking we've got intelligence, but she's actually tricking us because she knows we have some attachment and she's revealing that to us. And that's it. It's amazing, in the course of time. So, for instance, some devotees may not like to go out on the sankirtan. And it's amazing how many arguments all of a sudden pop up among the devotees, just before Christmas marathon. They don't want to go out and book and do books. It's too hard for them. Oh, no, don't do this. You know, one of the things. So, for instance, this is our general nature. In the material world, I'm just speaking in the material world as it is in, you know, conditioned souls. Someone says, get up out of bed and come to my life and worship the Lord. Oh, you know, the pain in the shoulder, the rheumatism, you've got to sleep in the next 5 hours sleep. And someone says, there's an opportunity for sex life. Oh, where's that? I wouldn't matter, you know, the average conditioned soul in this world, there's opportunities inside, it wouldn't matter what condition you're in. And it's just, you know, dead. Where is that? I've noticed it's hard. There's never a problem. There's never an answer. We literally go along with the goal. For sex life, he, you know, he was across the Rain River. No one would go out. We've got floods, you know, up in the north. People are trying to cross, they get swept away and drowned. No, I'm meeting him down on the other side of the river. So he learned to swim at night, as it was, a raging river. He just grabbed hold of a log. Then he somehow managed to get to the other side. At the risk of death, climbing up the over the wall, thinking he's grabbing a vine, grabbed hold of a snake, and almost got bitten by a snake. Finally gets to the door of Chintamani. She's like, you're here tonight? You cross that river? Oh yes. And you know, he was actually his father's shot to begin with. And he was thinking, come on, please hurry up, it's your mum just done. Oh, she said, if you put that much determination into your spiritual life, you know, you be a pure devotee, go back to God, and like that, you know, you'd be best devotee to Krishna. So, you know, they're the truths of mine. So it takes a lot of intelligence, you know, what is the Maya? Am I being, you know, artificially renounced by not looking after my body? You know, it takes a lot of intelligence. You know? So it must come from Krishna. He knows, we don't. And those messages he will send, and if we have you know, just the motivation to just do what's best to go back to God in this life, to Krishna Loka, he will send that information through the devotees without doubt. That will come. And the information that we're given will understand it as well. He'll help us understand it. Okay, so any other questions?
Yeah. Thank you for the class. Talking about the devotees doesn't mind going to the hellish planet. I was listening to this Mahabharata by Chaitanya Charitamrita character series, and in that I got to know that so Yudhishthira Maharaj went to heaven abode and saw that Duryodhana and all are sitting, but there were no Pandavas. So then they asked and then they took them to hellish planet. And there Arjuna, Bhima, Nakula, Sahadeva were there. And you know, they're just going through the pain. And that their test was taken for Yudhishthira Maharaj in that as well. How do we understand that? I mean, Arjuna and being such a, you know, such a great devotee, how can he be given that place in Harish Pranay?
Well, Prabhupada says it. They didn't actually go to hell, they saw hell. That's what Prabhupada says. So, you know, Yudhishthira perceived different hellish conditions, but he didn't actually go to hell. So, yeah, he saw things. by the grandchildren of the Lord. But he never went to hell, that's what Prabhupada said.
Oh, okay, so those are the hallucinations, I think. It's not their children.
Yeah, it's like, you know, to deceive it. There's something like you just hear, that's enough. They don't have to be punished and put into it. You know, a very pious person, it doesn't take much to just purify the intelligence. You know, they're not like a dog you have to beat it. So there's no need for Krishna to do too much. You know, so he just sees something, experiences, you know, an intelligent person, they can experience the whole thing just by a little things. That's all Krishna can do. But, you know, the reason that was there, Prabhupada said, is that Krishna asked him to tell a lie, and he refused to serve Krishna. Prabhupada said, you say, you know, and of course, why was Krishna doing that? He wants to protect all these devotees from harm, and he understood that without interfering himself, Dronacharya could not be disheartened or killed. So, you say you're here because you say, I don't believe you. Well, that's the time of dead. Your son is dead. He'll lose heart and then they can win the battle. And he wouldn't tell that lie. And for that, for refusing to serve God, he had to see. Therefore, Bhagavad Gita, and because of that, therefore, Prabhupada says, that's why Bhagavad Gita, the 10th chapter, says, amongst the commoners, I'm Arjuna. Because that also, that Krishna makes arrangements that if a devotee has a slightly higher level of love, Krishna will make arrangements that will be revealed. And those, even though they're very elevated, but it's a less, that will be revealed. Therefore we see that Srila Prabhupada, he had many Gauravas. But his level of pure love was above all others, and that was revealed. That you will deliver the whole world, not others. They cannot do it combined or individually. But without nothing to show that your love is the highest, I will make that arrangement. So, therefore, Krishna says, amongst the pandas, I am Arjuna. Because that level of love amongst the pandas is the highest in Arjuna. And Prabhupada says, therefore, when the battle of Kurukshetra was there, he didn't hesitate. He spoke the Bhagavad Gita, and after that he didn't hesitate. But even after hearing the Bhagavad Gita, he still hesitated. And that's the point. We should not hesitate. We should have that desire that I do not want to hesitate on account of physical illnesses, morality, you know, whatever. You know, yes, if I have to look after my body and Krishna is happy, then I will do that. If Krishna sees it as a hesitation, then I will put it aside. Put it there.